Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hey there! Do you like films? Do you like wrestling from the 2000s? Do you want to see a film about wrestling from the 2000s? Well, WrestleTalk are hosting a special screening of Ready to Rumble for its 19th anniversary at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square on May 7th, 2019.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's not fake!
Myself, Ollie Davis, Luke Owen, Laurie Blake, Randy Andy Datsun, Pete Quinnell, and maybe a few other surprises will be in attendance for a meet and greet before the film.
And then stick around after the screening for a special Wrestle Ramble podcast recording where we'll talk in depth about David Arquette winning the WCW Championship to promote the film and what it did for the wrestling industry.
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
They kind of always like that smell.
If you've not seen Ready to Rumble before, come see the sports entertainment epic The Detroit News Said manages to insult not only pro wrestlers, but also their fans.
Brittany, let's go out again. We'll talk about me and you.
Dude, you're in there.
The Matt-based masterpiece the New York Post called a toilet humor farce proud of its own crudeness.
Your sister shot her first perp today.
That's nice, Gabby.
And if that doesn't tempt you, the Orlando Sentinel said of this barn burner brilliance, yes, film fans, there is a new worst movie of all time.
Any match, any time.
The Steel Cage.
Steel Cage wins.
So come see...
Shut up, Randy! You're not part of this!
So come see Ready to Rumble at the Prince Charles Cinema on May 7th with your friends at WrestleTalk. Tickets are available now.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I was joined by El Fakador, Laurie Blake and Randy Pandy Datsun. However, made a bit of an error on the recording side of this. You can probably hear Laurie and Andy leaving the room now, where we did record an intro and we did record an outro. However, the audio was set up wrong and it was awfully echoey. In fact, it sounds a little bit like this. Every scene had something. Like every scene was worthwhile.
He said it was necessary.
Everything felt necessary. And I was like, that really is a damning indictment of the series as a whole.
You know what else is necessary? Breathing. Yeah.
No. So we thought best not to include it. We did give a couple of shout outs to the emails that we'd had in. A chap, I believe his name was Billy, who was listening to us on his way to WrestleMania to see a friend. So thank you all for your correspondence. We didn't get to any get betters or any sort of the general emails or some 80% facts. But though we did have a very interesting chat about cauliflower and mushrooms. So unfortunately, that is all gone to... it's gone in the dustbin now. It's gone into the recycle bin on my desktop, and that will be emptied very, very soon. Anyway, here is the NXT review. There won't be an outro for this, as you would imagine. Here is the NXT show, and we're going to be kicking off talking about the Undisputed Era and what's next for them. Here's the show. I don't want this group to break up, but what I could certainly see them going in, I could see them going in two directions here, because if you think about it, we've got the thumbs up, thank you very much. If you think about it, we've got kind of three people on either side now.
Yeah.
If Roddy is splitting away, you can do Roddy, Gargano and Riddle versus the rest of the Undisputed Era, set that up as a big six man, or I could almost see them doing for the next takeover a triple threat of Gargano versus Cole versus Strong.
Yes, I'd love that.
And sort of really playing off the tensions of Strong wanting, because he's never won a singles title in NXT. And the whole reason he joined the Undisputed Era was because he wanted to get gold.
His fastest way to the title.
Exactly, yeah. So I could certainly see them going in that direction. I think that'd be fascinating to go in that triple threat direction. But really, at the end of the day, I don't want the group to break up.
No, I think it's one of those things where they could also do, like, I also feel like the main roster's probably got its eyes on Adam Cole specifically.
Yeah.
And I think NXT would try to keep the Undisputed Era for as long as possible because they are just the best and the biggest thing. But yeah, I can see them pinching Cole and then repositioning maybe Roddy as the leader of the Undisputed Era that's remained. Like,
yeah.
I think there's many options with the Undisputed Era as a brand that you can do, whether it's like, there are factions of it within all the different, with SmackDown, Raw, and NXT, like NXT UK included, like, or whether it's, this is, Undisputed Era only exists here and there's a new, fresh, like, turnover, kind of like the Bullet Club in New Japan, like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, with the constant kind of portrayals and stuff. I don't know. I think there's plenty of options here, but I really like the idea of there being a strong Gargano and Cole three-way match.
Yeah, for the next takeover. Well, that is going to be Takeover San Jose, which is the... I mean, it's unconfirmed as of yet whether we are getting that show.
Yeah.
But it is rumoured to be that we are getting a proper takeover show there.
Mm.
Or if it's going to be whatever the next takeover is, because we're not getting one for attached to Money in the Bank, which means I guess the next one will be whatever the one attached to Brooklyn, attached to SummerSlam is. So it's quite a while. I suppose we've got a long time to get to the next big takeover show. We've got months, in fact, really. So I like the idea of going down this triple threat route, or maybe just playing up this sort of six-man war of the good guys versus the bad guys. And I kind of get what you mean. So, but like, I think my reservation with Roddy as the leader of Undisputed Era with Adam Cole split away is that that's always going to have, like, I don't know, it's just always going to feel like a lesser version of it.
Yes, yeah. I think that would be, that is the problem, is like, it probably should just, the ideal situation is it just remains those guys forever.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and that's it.
Yeah, the NWO was at its hottest when it was Hogan, Nash, and Hall.
Yes.
And then they did sort of their split-offs and everything like that. But when they tried to bring back the black and white NWO, and it was like Jarrett and Steiner and things like that, it always felt like, well, this just feels like a...
This is the knockoff version.
It's a knockoff version, exactly. Yeah, it's your the Transmorphers of the Transformers franchise. So you're GoBots.
Yeah. But it works to some degree. It worked well enough for the Bullet Club, you know, once when Kenny Omega took over, when people wouldn't think it would have worked post, you know, Fergal Devitt and then AJ. So, like, you know, it can work.
Yeah, it's true.
Done
very true,
well.
Yeah.
It just depends on how... I think it depends on how brutal the takeover is, really. Like, that's... Yeah. I think that's the selling of this is the key. It's the, we need to like wipe him out of existence. You know?
Yeah.
That would be, to my mind, the way to do it. But yeah, I think for Undisputed Era in general, keep them together.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would split them up, especially at a time when you probably are about to lose Johnny Gargano in the next 6 months, most likely. Mm. I don't know. I don't think they're going to keep him for a year now. He's going to go up after it.
I don't know, man. I still think I think he's got another year in NXT.
Oh,
I think they're going to keep him there until Ciampa's back.
Right. And then they're going to go up together.
Or whether they know what's going to happen with Ciampa.
Mm.
Because if Ciampa is in the position now where he can't wrestle ever again because his injuries were that severe, then they'll know what to do with Gargano. But I'd imagine probably the plan in the pipeline is... The best case scenario that Ciampa comes back and we can do something with these two together.
Right, as DIY.
As DIY and sort of come full circle. But yeah.
That's a rubbish holding pattern to be in. Just wait.
The forever holding pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can see them going in that direction, but at the same time, can almost see, because they are on this sort of like tear of NXT call-ups.
Mm.
The word is at the moment, what that's been reported is that WWE are currently doing more surveys than they have ever done before, like fan surveys and focus groups and things like that, because ratings are falling.
Yeah, yeah.
Ratings are
falling. Why aren't you watching?
Well, that's it. They're asking fans, and the most hardcore fans, what is it you like about the shows? What don't you like about the shows? Because we're trying to, they're trying to work out why ratings are bad.
What do you like? The wrestling. What don't you like? The talking.
why house show attendance is down and things like that. We were just briefly talking about there in the podcast outro, which we may have to re-record, but we'll see, where AAA outdrew Raw this week. Not just outdrew them, doubled the figure that they drew in ratings-wise with a match against the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers.
Yep.
And those are two of the big teams that are going to be part of All Elite Wrestling.
Yes.
So I think WWE, and if people keep answering, we like NXT, we like NXT, we like NXT, what WWE are going to do is go, well, let's get the NXT guys then.
Yeah.
And to
not think it's the presentation of NXT rather than the talent. Like the talent, the people on the main roster are NXT guys.
The vast majority
of people on the main roster of WWE have been through the NXT system.
Yeah,
they
much.
All know how to have those matches.
Yeah.
But you don't let them have the matches.
Yeah.
So that's what you get.
Yeah, the current Universal Champion is an NXT guy. Intercontinental Champion is an NXT guy.
Yep.
Who is the US Champion? Joe, he's an NXT guy. All these NXT guys are like on the main roster and sort of running wild. Becky Lynch is an NXT girl. So
it is.
I could see them having a big sort of pilfer of talent there and being like, well, the answer is we'll just bring all these people up before October when All Elite Wrestling starts. Probably on Turner, on TNT or TBS, as a way to combat that. And maybe that also includes the Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm. I think NXT is going to get raided even further. I think there's probably going to be more superstars shaking up than we could possibly imagine this year as they continually shuffle things around until they find the formula that works.
Absolutely.
To be like, oh, thank God, someone's finally watching.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was always that question of like, where is Nikki Cross gone? Because she wasn't assigned a brand. And word is, she's going to Raw. And if she's going to Raw, then Killian Dane is also going to Raw. So all of Sanity is on Raw now, with the exception of Alexander Wolf, who's on NXT UK.
Yeah.
So the whole plan to split them up might have just brought them all back together. Because they just keep like shifting things around still.
Yeah, it's just...
But anyway, we've got off way off topic. Let's talk about the main event, though. I just thought this was an excellent, excellent match. Lots of like really good mat wrestling early on, lots of pin attempts, lots of counters, just really, really great stuff. And I thought everything just felt so vicious.
Yes.
Everything felt so like really brutal and vicious. Like Strong went into this match wanting to win. And it's funny as well, because one of the things that Ollie and I criticized WWE matches a lot is, particularly like if you look at the Roman Reigns match, where Roman Reigns is worked over for 90% of the match, and then he makes his big 10% comeback, I win.
Yes, yeah.
And that was...
All I've got to do is one move, so...
And that was sort of this as well. Roddy was on top for the large majority of this match, but it never felt like Gargano was boring, there was not a rest hold in sight, it was just Roderick Strong using his in-ring prowess and targeting certain areas to work him over.
But Roddy, it was interesting as well, though, because it was actually like Roddy didn't hit as many like backbreakers as he normally hits.
Yeah.
So like setting up for Roddy's finish, he didn't actually ever quite... Every time he tried to go for a move that would be like, I'm going to work over the area where my finish is, Gargano countered.
Yeah.
Or like got out of it or just moved out of the way. Or there was a lot of like very clever, like subtle countering stuff going on here that just kept it just being like, oh, he's doing his stuff. Like Roddy did some really cool bits here.
Yeah,
but they weren't really necessarily his normal shtick.
Yeah.
Which I really liked.
There was some really cool stuff in there. And like
the wheelbarrow catch on the baseball slide was amazing.
Absolutely incredible. And like there's this moment when like Strong chopped Johnny Gargano really, really hard. Mm. And Johnny just got up and was just asking for more. And it felt like Roddy then answered by stomping him. Like, he chucked him a couple times and then stomped down. It felt like he'd got under his skin of being like, oh, you little mother effer. Don't do this to me. I thought it was some really, really good stuff, though. And, like, as Ronaldo said...
The chops in the corner.
Yeah, the chops. Oh,
so good.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about it, because it might have been the best spot of the night. But it was... Gargano had Strong in the corner.
Yeah.
And he chopped him very, very hard. And
a Strong bit of phlegm.
Strong had a big mouth of phlegm on him. And a big gloop came out of his mouth and seemingly landed in the crowd. Mm. It went out that far. Ronaldo was calling it the splash zone and things like that. Just brilliant. And Gargano was playing it up because the crowd were reacting huge to it.
Yeah,
and
he was really smirking.
It and so they did it again. And you could almost see Gargano letting Strong get him as much phlegm in his mouth as possible for this final chop. Being like, you got enough yet? He's like, give me a second.
Yeah.
just getting as much as he could for this final shot so he could go ginormous amount of phlegm flowing around. It was so good.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I loved it.
I want the slow-mo guys to film that. That's it was incredible. What a spot.
Absolutely loved it. And there was some really, really good stuff in this. And then eventually we got the Undisputed Era rundown and the finish with the match. So, answer the question then, that we started with the top of this in a very echoey part of this show. What next for the Undisputed Era? Do we think they're going to be ending up for a split? Or to your are they going to kick Adam Cole out and have Roderick Strong lead this new version of the Undisputed Era?
I think more likely. I really like the idea you said of having the three-way match, and I think maybe this is the plan. Like, maybe this is all part of the plan, is to be like, we'll pretend we're splitting up, we'll do all this stuff, then they end up in a three-way match with Johnny Gargano at TakeOver, and then Cole and Strong just unite and turn around and just destroy Johnny Gargano
in there. But then you can still play that up in the match, because Strong's character is he wants to win the gold.
So they can't decide who's going to pin.
Exactly.
A pin is a pin for them. They're Adam, like, we know a win is a win for the whole group, but it's not. It's still Adam Cole wants to be the champion.
And that's a way then for Gargano to still overcome the odds and get the win.
But it sells really well into Gargano's character as well, of being the perpetual underdog, even when the champion, because he's against two guys who are friends, like, you know, and who are definitely going to try and work him over in this thing. So I really like that. I think there's a lot of bandwidth in that for great stuff.
I agree. That's what I'd like to see it go as well. But I also like the idea of, and I think if you do this Strong quote unquote split from the group, as you say, but it's all a big ruse between the two of them, you can then do those six-man programs of Riddle, Gargano, and Strong versus the Undisputed Era. Just sort of build it up. And as I said, because if they aren't doing the San Jose TakeOver, we have got, what, 4 months? Three months before we get to SummerSlam weekend? So we've got a long old amount of time to fill. He's getting those tag belts off Viking Raiders? Is that what they're called now?
The Viking Warriors. Viking Warrior Raider Experience.
That's the ones, we need to get them off them.
War.
Eric. So,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So if you want to get your name read out in the Patreon shout-out section, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at the $25 and above level, and you'll get a shout-out in this portion of the show, along with a super cool wrestling nickname that usually I come up with, which is why some of them are very laboured and often a bit pants.
I don't understand them at all.
So starting off with, he's strong, Justin Roderick. Woo! Oh, also going to cheek off. Lovely.
The life of Jordan Riley.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
The Chronicles of Stefan Riddock.
Yeah, like yeah. Riddick. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get that.
King of the Super Chat, Jay-Z.
He is one Jay-Z. Of
woo.
Rita Repulsa's right-hand man, Jeremiah Golder, but it sounds like Goldar.
I don't get it.
There's another. This is another Power Rangers reference. You can see what mood I was in.
Jason Ayayayala.
Right, okay, yeah, sure.
Ayayay.
Ayayay.
Razman's Reality. Woo! Oh, yeah. Lovely stuff.
The difficult surname, John Inahuazo.
Yeah! Yeah! Well, that comes from the fact that during the Super Chats for WrestleMania, he donated a lot during the live streams, but I kept saying his name wrong.
We butchered it wrong.
Butchered it wrong every time. So he was like, I'm going to become a pledge hammer just so you have to say my name.
Oh,
I would go for Inahuazo, possibly.
Inahuazo?
I don't know.
Inahuazo.
Casey Catamaran.
Praise him, Jonathan Preston.
Yep, get it. Good stuff. Mad Dog Joshua Maddox.
Xandermania, running wild.
Here he is with his t-shirt.
If you sing, Travis.
If you sing,
sing by the band Travis.
I don't know.
Well, the love you bring won't mean a thing
unless you sing.
Should have gone for Flowers in the Window.
Sing. I was basically trying to think of any Travis song. It was the first one that came into my head. All right, that's all we've got time for.
We've got three more.
Oh, we have. Sorry, it's because they're on a separate page. Sorry. Rebel Without a Crew, Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. The King of Chaos, Thane Krios.
Whoa.
And it's almost like it was meant to be Andy Datson's number one fan, Tomo.
Tomo. Dadson, can we have some super chats, please?
Yes, you can. The echo is probably the most over thing in the world now.
Put it back on.
As are...
Dadson wouldn't know how to.
As are rabbits, and I'll explain why in a minute. Big Loki 10 says, echo. Zach Lindner says, can't watch live, keep up the good bants.
Oh, thanks, mate. We will keep up the bants.
Victor. Holding up my banter, the Bantskin.
I'm Crash Bantercoot.
It's Crash Banter, the Archbishop of Banterbury.
Yep. The Bant.
Victor Vega, who was the person Bantam who said weight. That. Are you thinking?
No.
Victor Vega, who was the person who said that he used to date
Chitty Bant Bant.
Bailey and Charlotte on yesterday's show, says, I miss my ex-wife Blue Pants. Make of that what you will.
I think he's just saying that he's dated all of the NXT roster, I guess, because Blue Pants was part, but then she's now in their AEW.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's going to be, it's Leva Bates. She was the
okay.
She's been announced as the librarian.
The librarian. And,
yes, but it's probably going to lead to an intergender match.
There's another librarian.
There is, yeah. Tell Eli Drake.
I won't.
Serious business.
Get him on the hotline.
Mega Mister 46 says, what the hell is with the echo? It's all your fault, Baron Corbin 2.0, Luke Owen.
That lad really isn't funny. Yeah.
I have no opinion.
There you go,
but if Mega. There was an echo, you could have heard it twice.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right?
There you go, Mega Mister 46. And Tomo.
Tomo.
So he message to say, oh, how much did I give today? And I just made a joke like, oh, as much as you want. And he gave a very large, I won't talk, say what it is, but he had a very large amount. And he asked me why he should give me that much. And I said, because I need a new rabbit. And now the fact that I need a new rabbit is really over in the chat. And
so they, are you going to get a rabbit now?
I feel like I have to. And then everyone thinks I should call it. Call it Echo as well.
No, surely you should call it Tomo.
I've been arguing for a wrestling dog.
No, Tomo
for a while,
wants me to call it Echo.
Ollie is very allergic, so.
Yeah, we can't get wrestle dog.
We can't have a wrestle dog.
We nearly did get wrestle dog, though, because me and my wife nearly got a dog.
Oh, really?
That we were going to bring into the office.
That's what I wanted to do. We've got a separate office. Ollie can sit in that office now.
That's what we were saying.
He can be hermetically sealed in there, and then we can have a dog in the other office. Yeah. We can have multiple dogs. We can all have dogs and a rabbit.
Bigham Steve just has left us a little donation, so thank you to Bigham.
Thank you.
And the only question of this entire thing is the last one from XG Krampus, who
what
says,
what colour rabbit are you going to get?
I don't know why I keep swapping. Riddle or Cole to take the belt off Gargano?
I can see it being Riddle.
I can see it being Riddle. I think it should be Cole.
Yeah.
And I like the, like, I know we're obviously just theory crafting a story here, but I love the idea that, like, this is all a ruse. Because the Undisputed Era have tried cheating. They're not very good at it, it turns out. They're not actually that good at cheating anymore.
That so a bad old year.
Them them thinking their way around a problem to sort of connive and trick their way into the belt is a much better idea.
Yeah.
And I could really see that being the sort of main thrust of this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're going up.
Yeah. But on your rabbit discussion, which obviously is the more pressing matter.
Yeah, we've got another message as well. So
okay.
Carry
on. No. We'll talk about the rabbit in a minute, mate.
Well, I don't know what the... what's it called?
Use your words.
Thinking.
Currency in South Korea is, but Elizabeth Mazur has given us 6,000 of them. So
whoa.
Thank you too.
I'd imagine it's huge. I mean, I don't know either.
Do they come in coins? Can we take them out in the bank and pile them up like Scrooge McDuck?
But yeah, thank you very much, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much.
You guys are great. It's hard to keep up in South Korea, so I really appreciate y'all even more. Thanks, love heart emoji.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's very, very kind of you. I genuinely am blown away by it. I'm blown away by any donation that we get given, even ones that call me Baron Corbin, because, you know, we don't have hair. No. It's hilarious.
You don't have hair. I've got loads on it.
It's all hidden away, mate.
I just retract at night.
Yeah. Oh, that's smart. Yeah, I need to work out.
Like
to
a Play-Doh person. Yeah. You just press down on the top and it grows out.
Apologies again for the echo that was the start of this. It was actually my fault. I clicked a button because I thought I clicked off something and I was like, oh no, what did I click off? I think it must have been this.
Oh.
What it is, I turned on the microphone of the onboard mic of the second camera, which is meant to be off. Another one. So that's my fault.
He's got another one.
Mm. Oh, got another one. Sorry, yeah. And then we'll crack on into the rest of the review.
True Dill, who says, would it make Adam a triple crown champ if he wins?
Yeah, because he's been tag champ, NXT North American champion, and he'd be NXT champ. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Well, anyway, let's crack on into this show. I feel that you and I haven't had this discussion yet.
Right.
The NXT intro, the new one.
Dislike.
You dislike it?
I dislike it.
So you dislike... Because I think the actual song is good, and I think the second half of it is good, but the bit where they're all looking at the... going, do-do-do-do-do is lame.
I don't like the song. It's too aggressive. And it might be the... I've said this before. It might be the time of the morning that I watch NXT. But I'm just having some tea and some toast, and I'm a bit like, oh, this is a bit full on.
Bit much this.
Oh, chill out.
Sorry, Corey. Come on, mate.
I prefer the last song.
Yeah.
I really like the last intro. But I like the shots. I don't like the shots where they're pretending like they're in a rave, in a ring.
Yeah.
But I like the walking shots coming through the smoke. I like the roster like assembling and stuff. Mm. I just don't think they should have really been like...
singing along.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the bit I think is pretty lame. We were coming back in the car from my in-laws at the weekend.
Mm.
And it was a beautiful summer. I say summer's day. Beautiful spring day. It was the most beautiful
day. An outrageous spring
day. Oh, wasn't it just? It was the most beautiful day we've had this year.
I'm ginger and I've got a tan. Like, it's been stupidly hot here.
And it was like days after I'd got my head shaved as well. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, what do I do to protect this now?
You slather it in suntan lotion. And every time you creep from a shadow,
more.
Just keep
going.
Ideally, if you can set up some sort of shower system so it just constantly pours Sultan on you, that'll be fine.
Or just get a hat. And we were driving back, windows down, all that, and a Slipknot song came on my shuffle playlist. My wife's face the entire time was just like, this is not summer appropriate.
This is not summertime.
And I was like, no, this is good.
I'll be doing whatever goths do in summer.
But this show kicked off with the Forgotten Sons coming out. Speaking of music, that's a bit much. And it was Jackson Ryker in action against our boy, Humberto Carrillo.
Yeah, before Humberto came out, I'd just written, oh, Jackson Ryker's going to squash some mug. And I was like, no, not Humberto! No! But actually, this turned out to be a very good thing because Humberto Carrillo's selling is because he's so flexible and like acrobatic.
Yeah, yeah.
You just got like one chop and he's just like off into the distance.
Away from it. Yeah.
This is the exact sort of squash that Jackson Ryker needed, right?
Yeah. Like, absolutely.
I watched this and I was like, why wasn't he doing these ones before? Why weren't they just pairing him with someone higher up the roster that he can just chuck around? who will sell it properly, make it look like a believable, fast-paced, mount a little bit of offense. That I love the fact that he, like, Carrillo does some quite cool stuff, mounts a bit of offense, and that pisses Riker off. And then he's like, right, well, now I'm going to destroy you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was such a good beatdown. It was so good.
Beatdown, yeah.
Where he slams his head into the barricade and Carrillo just takes it like almost on the cheek. He just goes boom, right into it. It's so good.
Because Carrillo was like actually mounting some sort of offense against him. Like he hit this big springboard like drop kick and hurricane runners and stuff. And like Riker just like he lost it because... And I do think you're right that this is the squash that he needed. But I think he also needed those other squashes to set this one up.
Yeah.
Because he's now like, all I'm expecting to just go in there and squash a mug.
Yeah.
And as soon as this guy mounted a bit of offense, he was like, well, I'm not having any of this.
Yeah, I just wish those initial squashes were anywhere near as vicious as this. Like, I'm not saying, I think this should have been like, this should have been going completely overboard as it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those other squashes were too slow. And he didn't like, it wasn't giving enough of a way of like, they're trying to sell the idea that this man's an animal, right? That he's like crazed.
Yeah.
And the other two guys barely have control of him.
Yeah.
That is what I wanted to see. We got it here and they should have been doing a bit more of that previously.
Yeah.
Like, I think the squashes before should have been just one move and done. And then he goes for more and they drag him off. Like that kind of stuff.
It was a really, really cool beatdown. Yeah, because essentially Riker just lost it, tossed him over the ring and then just started throwing him over the guard. Reynolds just like slamming him into the guard.
He just started kneeing him in the head against the barricade. And that's brutal. When the ref calls for the bell and it's just like, just calls the match off. Like, nope.
And Lorcan and Birch came down for the save, and they had a bit of a brawl, and they sort of grabbed chairs. Like, come on in,
go on in.
And perhaps this is just the way I'm thinking at the moment. I can see a six-man coming, girl. Of the Yard Bastards and Carrillo versus the Forgotten Sons.
I would love that.
I'd love it too.
I think it'd be really fun.
I mean, I'd like to see more Carrillo on NXT. I know he's up on 205 Live and everything. Yeah. But I mean,
so is only Lorcan.
Yeah, I say own up. Laterally, he's on 205 Live.
Laterally and down.
Probably less like people do watch it.
Along and down slightly,
But I thought it was a really, really good angle, really good way to kick off the show. And then Adam Cole was seen having a photo shoot backstage and he's interviewed. Something about how Gargano should be facing him. Matt Riddle walks up. Being all Michelangelo, and says, like, hey, you're just jealous that Roderick Strong got a match instead. And Cole says, I've got bigger things to think about than the photo shoots and Jimmy Dragon and these storms.
I did get better.
And then Riddle's just like, hey, man, let's get into this photo shoot. And just instantly dives into posing. He does three poses before the cameras even flash. Like, oh my God, what's he doing?
Whoa, he's nuts. He's really amazing. Good. That was really funny.
Then we got a tag match between Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne versus Candice LeRae and Casey California Roll. she was the surprise partner. They were teasing this last week of who is going to be in the corner of
Casey Caterpillar Digger.
So it turned out it was, Casey Catamaran. And she came out to do some Ninja Warrior stuff.
Yeah.
Aaliyah's entrance makes me feel kind of funny. Like when you used to climb the rope in gym class. And it's just my only note I really have on this match. And basically this match, as I've called it here, this was Fisher Price, my first tag match.
Yes.
Until Candice LeRae got in.
Yeah, and then it was suddenly like, oh, she's a different class, isn't she?
Yeah. Like, but also, leaps like, and bounds.
But it's, I get the idea that, like, Casey's kind of a big signing for them, and like, in the fact that she's got a more universal appeal than, like, outside of wrestling, because, like, a lot of people watch American Ninja Warrior. She was the first woman to do one.
I don't believe to complete one. Yeah, hold on.
Something.
Can you Google that for us, Randy?
Randy, sorry. What did Casey Catamaran do at...
She was the first woman to finish American Ninja Warrior, right?
To finish the final course.
Yeah.
She was the first woman to do it. And if you've seen the run, it's pretty incredible. Cool. So I was just banning people from doing Endgame spoilers and also talking about having coitus with female wrestling stars because it's just pathetic.
Crikey. Is there a moon out today or something? It's just brought all these people out.
Well,
also, if you spoil anything for Endgame in the comments, you are... there's stuff on the bottom of my shoe that I think more highly of. We're seeing it tonight. Anyway.
We're seeing it tonight.
Yeah, but yeah, Candice Gray, I think Casey is really cool. I think she has got a lot of upside. Yeah. She is someone that they are going to like just love on the main roster.
But this is what
she's
going to
get over like anything on the main roster.
Well, this is the thing. She's very small and she's going to go straight into that sort of like underdog role. I just think it's weird to have signed someone like that. And then the two matches we've seen her in is one, she came out a while ago just for a six-woman tag.
She had it was the beatdown that Shayna Baszler was doing. She came out, she had a bit of a series.
Oh, she had a little series with Baszler and then this. And it just all feels a bit like she's not really being made a deal of. Yeah, but despite the fact they love her on the Performance Center YouTube channel.
And they gave her the Kofi spot in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Her and Naomi are now like, they've got to fight each year, I guess, for who gets the Kofi spot or who's going to get the bigger Kofi spot.
Well, Kofi won't get this.
Well, yeah, he might be busy.
Yeah, he'd be busy now.
Oh, he won't be WWE champion by Royal Rumble. Hey! Let's be honest.
No, he won't.
He won't be champion by SummerSlam.
I think he won't be champion by the end of Money in the Bank.
Candice tags in. And I'd say she runs wild, and it was brilliant. And then she did this high angle lion salt and got the win.
Yeah,
she literally came.
More Candice.
She came in and was just like, "God, I'm going to show you lot up," and just instantly showed everyone up, and it was amazing.
Yeah, she's like, "This is how you do a wrestle."
More Candice, please. Absolutely more Candice. Actually, well, we'll jump ahead slightly because Mia Yim did an interview about Shayna Baszler, and she said that she deserves one more chance. If Bianca Belair's had two chances, I think I deserve another shot at this.
Kairi's had multiple chances.
Exactly.
Bianca's had
multiple
chances.
Io's had her go. So I can definitely see them going with this. Mia Yim, Candice, and Io as like the next three top. Actually, with and Bianca as well.
Yeah.
Like, to Baszler. So for those who might be concerned that the women's division is lacking in the NXT world because Baszler's kind of gone through everyone, then there's still a lot to be mined from there, particularly with Candice.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. We got the recap of Kairi being beaten up by Shayna Baszler last week, although she seemed fine on SmackDown. So,
who knows?
I think she was all right. It might not be real.
It's a different universe, I think it doesn't exist on different timelines. It's like the fact that we can get Spider-Man Far From Home trailers before Endgame comes out. And it's like,
bloody Sony.
Where's he come back from?
That's Sony. No idea what they're doing. We got a video that Kushida is signing with NXT and he's going to be debuting next week. And Regal's in his office. Bloody excited that Kushida is doing.
I'm so happy that
worked very hard to get this deal in. And I'm very, very excited.
I've done a lot of work.
Oh, the amount of paperwork I've signed.
I've completely worn my voice out. I have to get a new Parker pen.
I've crossed some T's and I've dotted some lowercase J's. I've been very busy. And you see, Cassius Ohno walks in with his NXT UK t-shirt to let him know what brand he's on now. And he said it's an honor to teach those kids the European style, which I think is a wonderful gimmick. This American coming over being like, look, guys, I know the European style. I'll teach you how it's done. And then he said he wants the match with Kushida next week because he also knows how to do Japanese high flying.
He's amazing.
So great. I love this Cassius Ohno character. It's great.
I like the fact that Cassius Ohno hopped a plane just to come back and be like...
For this?
Yeah, for just to walk into Regal's office and annoy him.
And he's going to have that match with Kushida next week and Regal makes that official. So yeah, next week, Kushida versus Ohno. Wow. Then came up a match that I thought was bloody terrific. I mean, this only went like 5 minutes maybe, but it was tremendous. It was Street Profits versus War Raiders. We're going to call them War Raiders because that's what they were credited as. Hanson and Rowe for the NXT Tag Team Championships. And this was, I loved this.
This is really cool.
Because you got the War Raiders making their entrance, doing their like, yeah, do, and then like doing their big entrance. All of a sudden, Montez Ford flies over the cameraman, wiping out both of them with this big old flip dive.
Yeah.
He launched himself.
Oh, yeah. He just went, bye.
It was. And then from there, Street Profits were like on fire. Yeah. I knew they weren't winning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still bought into the frog splash. I literally turned, oh my God, they're going to switch the titles. Oh, it's great.
It was good, though, because if you haven't seen the spoilers, it felt like it is possible if you have watched Raw and SmackDown as well. Yeah. You know that the War Raiders have been on Raw.
Like, yeah, without the tag belts.
Yeah. So you're like, okay, well, maybe that's, you know, this all makes sense because now we don't have to go, what the hell are they called?
I thought this was great. I loved watching Hansen and Ford work together in particular.
Oh, yeah, the trade of flips was really brilliant.
It was a lot like Cather did at New York, where it was like Hansen was teamed up with Ricochet, essentially, because like we're the flippy ones.
We're the high flyers.
Yeah. I'm Hansen, the high flyer of the group. And I thought it worked so well with Montez Ford here. And not to take anything away from Roe and Dawkins as well, because Roe did your favourite spot in the world.
Yes.
The big roll through knee and scream.
But they just played the hits at that point. They did the knee and the scream. Then they did the I'm going to dump you in the corner on top of them. And then they did the huge diving springboard clothesline German suplex combo.
Yeah.
Which, amazing.
Oh, so great. Thor's hammer, and they got the win. And that match ruled.
Yeah.
Loved it.
That's exactly how you do a little 5 minute, like what feels like a foregone conclusion match. Like, this was kind of the perfect, you know, the Profits got enough offense in early and were smart about it as
That's
well.
That's it, like, yeah. They came out this looking really good.
Yeah, it was really clever. It was like, it was such a fun match.
Yeah, really good. Certainly go out of your way to, like, the second half of this show is well worth going out of your way to see. But that is the show in total. What did you think of it?
I really loved it. I thought it was a good episode. I didn't think there was particularly anything I would have taken out. Like, I wasn't amazing. I wasn't blown over by the women's tag match. But actually, once Candice LeRae came in, I was like, yeah, she's great.
And
like,
to be honest, it's not the worst women's tag match I've ever seen.
No, but I thought, like, Casey's got some cool stuff that she can do. I wish they'd done more with that, like her trying to escape and getting beaten down. Mm. And like, there was probably a lot more gymnastic kind of stuff they could have done with it. But I think Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne had some cool tag combo stuff going on, like some good ring psychology. Good episode of NXT overall. Like,
good
especially
episode.
Especially the main event and the tag match between War Raiders and Street Profits.
Yeah, and the beatdown that Jackson Ryker gave Carrillo. So, yeah, a lot to like about this week's
episode.
A lot of fun. Randy Datson, hit us up with some super chats.
It's called The Viking Experience, not Thor's Hammer. And also,
that's a different move.
Are you Ro from the Viking
Experience? I'm Ro. Yeah, he actually looks way more like him.
I'm seeing double. Which one?
Two Lukes.
Wait, we should do this in a storyline on the channel.
Oh, yeah. We could do, couldn't we? That'd be a really good idea. Write it down for future, Randy.
Yeah,
write it down for future.
Because people really like us doing is storylines.
I love it. Yeah. People love the stories.
Love it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into aren't too many, but this because it's NXT, so whatever. Adam Pearson says, "What would your entrance theme be?" Adam Pearson being my biggest fan, other than Tomo, obviously.
Yeah, who we're going to be seeing at the Prince Charles Cinema on May 7th. On May 7th, there's your little
7th,
where we're going to be screening Ready to Rumble.
Get possessed by a ghost there for half a sentence.
May 7th, Prince Charles Cinema. Tickets are available now. Click the link in the video description below. Come see us live. We're going to be doing a live episode of Wrestle Ramble. We're all going to be there. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah, we're working out some really cool surprises today in particular.
I will be surprised because I don't know.
I was going to say, I haven't actually told you about this.
No.
Oh, mate, it's going to be cool.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it.
Baron Corbin.
Yeah, we're getting Baron Corbin.
That's a corpse.
We're getting Baron Corbin. We're going to do a lookalike contest.
I'm going to wear a waistcoat.
Yes, we should all dress like Baron Corbin.
Yes. We'll be the mid-card of evil.
I've got to be Baron, though, so I've got to wear the waistcoat.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. You can be...
Who can I be? I don't know who anyone.
Gunlock
Leo Rush.
Well,
you're Leo Rush. The smallest one, so you've got to be him. Well, I suppose Pete's technically the smallest one. Mm. Was there a question?
Your entrance thing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I got so distracted by plugging stuff. Mm. But thank you again for your donation. Thank you for joining us yesterday as well. My entrance theme, I've always said it will be Last Cup of Sorrow by Faith No More, because I think it's just got a really crunchy guitar opening. And I always thought it was cool, because it's like, but it's got some cool piano stuff in the background. So go with that.
I'm just going to go with PJ and Duncan's Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
Nice.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Watch us wreck the mic. Psych.
And this is where I appear from the stage, like old school Rey Mysterio.
Psych.
Yeah, except my knees aren't as good, so I'll just...
like Ray is now. I always thought that was funny as an opening because they're like, watch us wreck the mic, and then go, psych. So are you not going to wreck the mic?
What are you going to do the mic? Just give it back if you're going to.
Exactly, yeah. Watch us break the mic.
Stop messing
not.
About.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be my theme.
I would do Elton John's Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, because I think that's got quite a good...
What about Elton John's Your Song?
I would just sing
good,
it.
That would be a good heel
It would
one.
Be an acoustic yeah. version just by me, and then I'd walk down to the ring.
Like Elias.
Yeah. Let's go. Ring Profits Wrestlecast says, I watch from Dallas, Texas every morning. Keep it up.
Yes, we've noticed your name crop up a lot. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
And that's what we thought with these sort of timings that we picked for doing the rambles, is that people can watch it like while they're having their breakfast before they go to work or something.
Maybe
like
we should
that.
Get Slipknot to do the intro and then it will be like my experience of watching NXT.
When I wake up at 6 a.m. and it's like... Corey, mate.
Oh, please.
Back it in, lad. Will you? Great. I don't need Gargano's fake screaming in my face either. Oh, steady on. Volume all the way down.
Yeah, I'll just skip. I'll just fast forward through.
While they're having their Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Pop-Tarts, because I imagine that's what every American ever has.
Is it just me? Pop-Tarts are gross, right?
I love Pop-Tarts.
I've never had one.
It's cardboard.
Never had one.
It's like gross cardboard covered in sugar.
Mm. I had Lucky Charms once, and I thought,
one of Luke's hot takes here. Like Yosemite Sam.
Game of Thrones is broadly fine. Hot takes. Shoot now. Shoot from the hip.
Pop-Tarts are rubbish.
I had Lucky Charms once, and I got both types of diabetes immediately. I couldn't.
It's funny as well, because when I was a kid, because Lucky Charms are banned in the UK. They were banned like in the mid-90s.
You can get them.
Oh, no, you can get them in Sainsbury's.
In the mid-90s, it was they couldn't sell them like unless you import them.
Yes.
Like, it's not distributed.
They stopped selling them, yeah.
Absolutely, they stopped selling them. But like prior to them getting banned, a friend of mine at school used to have them every morning. If I went round to his, like if I stayed over his house over a weekend.
Did he subtly vibrate?
No, but I mean, sugary treats, they were not allowed in the Owen household. My mum's a nurse.
So Owens?
Yes, in the Owens household, you're absolutely right. Like my mum's a nurse, so she was just like, absolutely not. And so she was so in with the NHS. And so we had like raisins on us, Rice Krispies and raisins to kind of give you the sugary goodness that you might have got. When I went over to this friend's house and had Lucky Charms, I was like, this is the greatest taste
of bleak childhood.
I still do it to this day. I cannot have cereal without raisins on it.
Any kind of cereal?
Raisins? Because I have muesli.
What about
raisin bran?
Yeah, but muesli is like muesli's designed for raisins because it is.
It's sawdust.
Do you know what? It somehow makes the raisins seem interesting. That's like muesli has been purposefully designed to make raisins look good.
I find muesli fascinating. I genuinely do.
What's it made of?
Well,
how
sawdust.
Did you get married?
Because you pour milk in. The milk just goes, it just disappears. It's like a magic show.
No, it's
tremendous.
Like a science experiment that you're eating, yeah. It's like corn flour.
But anyway, so I was like, Lucky Charms, this is the greatest taste I've ever had in my life. You're like marshmallow and your cereal. This is tremendous. Yeah. And then when I was at university, a housemate had some, like a friend of his, this is before it was like imported into like Tesco's and Sainsbury's and things like that. And a friend of his bought some back from America. And I was like, oh mate, can I have a bowl of Lucky Charms? Had some, and I was like, this is foul. This is so gross. It doesn't taste nice at all.
How were you after having the Lucky Charms that first time? Crazed.
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
Because housemate Simon's missus had a fairly similar upbringing of no sugary treats particularly.
Nope.
And now goes nuts. Like, tiny bit of sugar, she just goes ballistic.
I think I probably like balanced myself out because I during my fatter years I was on like I was in a Haribo like binge.
Oh yeah,
I was eating like a bag of Starmix a day. Whoa. Was like my in the same point when I was trying to rid the world of Big Macs because I was having like those every day as well. Large Big Mac meal, double cheeseburger, and whatever side they were going with, and that and a bag of Haribo Starmix. That was like basically my diet for
That's
a little while.
Three of your five a day, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Those were my fatter years, though.
Three of your five burgers a day, or you'll die. Like,
yes.
If you hit five, you die.
But I think we should say to any American coming here, prepare to be disappointed because like all the sugary drinks are less sugary here. Like Fanta is actually orange here, whereas it's kind of fluorescent, glow in the dark there. We don't really have Mountain Dew here.
No, because it's gross.
And there are quite a lot of drinks that we just don't have. A lot of cereals we don't have, like Fruit Loops we don't have, just because they are so unhealthy that they are banned.
Yeah.
Expect a Fight gives us a little donation, no message, but thank you so much.
Expect
a Fight. Dippy Dip says, what do you think of KO versus Kofi?
I'm in for it. I just think it's a bit too soon. But I think their hand was played against them because of the Daniel Bryan injury.
Yes, yeah. I think I think it's going to be a great match.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fantastic. I just think Owens needed a bit more face time.
That's
and
it.
Then the heel turn.
Yeah.
Especially because I just think Owens and New Day, like Owens being the third member of New Day,
so
is something
fun.
I just want to see. It's like when he was messing around with the Young Bucks stuff. It just feels like that kind of same thing,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Jet2012 says, what do y'all think about Strong versus Gargano versus Cole? But the whole Strong turn was a swerve and he helps Cole win the title.
That's exactly what we talking about
that.
At the start, mate. Yes, that's exactly where we're going with this as well. I think that's a great, great idea.
Tomo. Forgotten
Tomo.
How to type because he says Kushida best is.
I mean, yeah, he's not wrong. He is great.
Is he the best?
Is he the best is? He's the best was. I'll give you that. Yeah.
Or the best there ever will be. Or the best
that's Natalia. Jobber.JJ496 says, when will the War Raiders lose the belts? I don't know why he's Scottish.
I'm guessing whenever they do next takeover. Because that the
you think takeover? Really?
Well, like the San Jose, if we get the San Jose one. Because the San Jose one, I believe, the way that it's scheduled in the calendar, is that it's the same time frame that they're doing the Saudi Arabia show.
Right.
So the majority of like the main roster, well, I would say not majority, but a lot of the main roster guys are going to be going over for Saudi Arabia, whether they do the Greatest Royal Rumble again or not, I don't know. But that then frees up some of your NXT guys to go back and do something there, including the War Raiders to go drop the belts.
I think sooner would make more sense.
The question you've probably been expecting, Luke, from Jer Personen, what is your favorite flower?
Daffodil.
Self-raising.
What's a daffodil?
What is a daffodil?
Well, I can't remember what daffodil looks like. It was just the first one that
came
out.
It's like a narcissus.
It's a yellow one.
Is it the yellow one? Oh, yeah, that is a pretty one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd go with that one. I think it's my wife's favourite flower. I think that's
the daffodil.
Yeah. I think
what about you, Laurie?
Self-raising.
Good answer, mate.
Or dandelions are quite fun.
Oh, mate, dandelion when you were a kid.
Yeah, they're loads of fun.
Not much fun. Bearing in mind, you and I grew up in a period before like phones and stuff like that, mobile phones. Yeah. You had to find your own fun when you
were
a kid.
What were those ones that were like darts that you could get? They were great,
Throwing those at phones, brilliant. Yeah. The ones that, and they get stuck to your clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, they were brilliant.
There were some banging plants. If you went out looking in the UK, there were some banging plants.
Banging plants. When you're going out and building a den, oh, it's great.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
You kids don't know these days with your phones.
Your phones.
Too busy playing Angry Birds. You could just be doing that with a bit of grass at your mates
and your internet and whatnot.
Do people play Angry Birds? I don't know.
Not anymore. I don't think I've ever played an Angry Bird in my life. I've dated a couple of Angry Birds.
lads.
I was thinking about, you know, people say I look like people. You know, basically anyone who is bald. And I thought, I was watching back a bit of the ramble we did yesterday, and I was like, I'm amazed there is one name that has kept everyone's attention.
Harry Hill.
And Dr. Robotnik.
I don't know. Who
that is. Dr. Robotnik, because he's got a bald head and an orange moustache. Also, dude, if I just grow this out a little bit more, I could be a good. I can get a decent Dr. Robotnik cosplay in. Yes.
My favourite flower is the tulip.
No one cares.
Because my mum likes it, and therefore I get it for everyone ever. Because I just assume they like it too.
Because you think everyone's your mum.
I mean,
are you my mummy? Are you the first episode of the new Doctor Who? When Mr. Eccleston was there. Are you my mummy?
Oh, that was scary. No, I got them.
Be scarier with you.
I got them for my lady partner the other day, and she was pleased. So I think everyone must like them. So that's what I'm just hoping. Anyway, True Dill says WrestleMania 36 goal. Cole versus Gargano versus Rollins Universal title.
If Gargano goes up, when Gargano goes up to the main roster, he isn't going to be within an arse's roar of that Universal Championship picture. Absolutely
he is. His career best will be a week with the WWE Championship.
Yeah, like he is. They'll think he's too small.
Yeah,
and he might get the Daniel Bryan push, but bearing in mind the Daniel Bryan push only came about because CM Punk left. Like, I don't think we can state that enough. The only reason Daniel Bryan got that big WrestleMania 30 moment is because Punk left and they had to change plans.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan was just going to face Sheamus otherwise. So unless CM Punk leaves again, I don't think Gargano's going to be getting the Universal Championship picture.
CM Punk's coming back, confirmed.
I'm leaving.
And then leaving again, confirmed.
Luke, get ready for a fake laugh. Love seeing Roe and Corbin doing the ramble. That's from Tomo. True Deal says, I've watched since 2016, but I just started chatting, and honestly, they should fire the WWE creative and hire WrestleTalk. That is from True Deal.
Oh, I think that'd be a terrible idea. Yeah. I think that'd be a disaster idea.
I can barely remember what I was doing, like, this morning.
Have you seen the storylines that we've done?
Yeah, they're mental.
Terrible
people
idea.
Opening doors for hours.
Yeah. And also, really, it's not...
Blast!
It's not creative that's at fault. I mean, they are at fault, but there's one man who is the head of creative, mm-hmm. and that's Vince McMahon. You can present the best show in the world, but if Vince has a bad, like, meat rap, then he's just going to throw it out the window and present something
exactly.
different.
If people are saying that, like, literally they'll spend a week writing something that's well-crafted and thought out, and an hour before the show it's getting thrown out the window, and they're like, just make it all up. It's like, well, it's never going to be better, is it? Yeah. Like, so, yeah.
A writer was literally fired... for having Bret Hart say Vince McMahon's name in his Hall of Fame speech. Like, that's mad.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of that. That sounds like a horrible place to work.
Well, if you noticed, I haven't said the other guy's name this whole time. Oil.
You're fired.
Victor Vega has continuing his unusual streak of messages, but this is probably the least unusual, saying, watching from Alabama, drinking maple syrup.
That's a vibe.
That is a vibe right there.
Yeah, that's a big mood.
I do remember, like, you know in the Step Brothers,
yeah.
when he just like gets that big plate of nachos and then just puts those grated cheese and puts it in the microwave. I'm like, that is a mood, but it's a mood I want to be part of.
Mm, I wouldn't mind them. Like, maple syrup, right? Maple syrup, a little bit of whiskey, mm-hmm. like bourbon whiskey, maple syrup, one ice cube. What a drink. It is an unbelievable drink. So
I might be like, do you remember when, I mean, they might still do it, but Jack Daniels did that honey version.
Mm.
And that was, I'm not a big whiskey drinker, in all fairness. I don't think I'm man enough for it. Yeah. But it's...
put airs on your chest, mate.
I know. Well, I don't need any more help with that, to be honest. I could do them, put them on my head, though. That'd be great.
Shave them off. Bit of glue.
Bit of glue. Be fine. But I did actually really like that JD... and honey stuff. So mm-hmm. I can get on board with your whiskey and maple
try it.
Syrup.
It's really delicious. Yeah. It has to be good maple syrup, though.
Yeah.
The whiskey can be whatever you want it to be, weirdly enough.
Although not little whiskey. A friend of mine...
Oh, it should be scotch, though, not scotch.
Yeah, a friend of mine had a little whiskey, and she drank basically the whole bottle and had to get her stomach pumped. And we had to. It was a terrifying night at university. That was my first year.
That's probably more drinking an entire bottle of whiskey than...
I don't think, in fact, it was little whiskey helped.
I don't think it mattered.
Yeah?
I think a whole bottle of whiskey to yourself is... a recipe for a stomach pumping.
I mean, you might be right. In all fairness, I think Lidl whiskey is just flat Coke.
I think Lidl whiskey
Lidl
is
and
like,
Aldi are quite well known. They're surprising. For yeah, well.
This was 15 years ago.
Yeah, no,
I am old.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
Lidl. My favorite thing they do in Lidl and Aldi is they do like you know Crave the cereal, which is like
chocolate pillows.
Yeah, but they call them nougat filled pillows. It's like that's like Aldi and Lidl's naming of things is like they're just knockoffs of other things named literally.
Yeah, it is. They have grown leaps and bounds in terms of the quality. But yeah, that
like Cocoa Pops are just called chocolate rice explosions. Like
I used to go there like every because I was a little down the end of our road in Pompey. So that's where we used to go and get our shopping down there. Like bags cost more than the beans. Mm. It's a brilliant place to go save money.
Would you like a?
Unless you're buying bags.
Would you like a Randy Datson bring down on the whole maple syrup thing? Because the last time I had maple syrup, I threw up everywhere. There you go.
Oh, well done.
That wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It wasn't. Last time I had maple syrup, everyone died. Rocky Balboa.
That's why he's always looking for his mum.
Rocky Balboa. Not the one that you thought was a Patreon. Balboa says, hi, Laurie, Luke and Randy from Austin, Texas. We've got a couple of viewers from Austin, Texas.
God, maybe they were watching together.
Hello. Should meet up.
Yeah, that's it. Get a meet up. Let's get an Austin,
Austin, Texas,
Swaff Nation meet up going on.
Austin is well known for being a really small place, so they should be able to just find each other.
I'm pretty sure all American towns like that.
Go outside your house and shout, Swaff! And see if anyone replies.
I mean, as far as I'm aware, all American like streets are just like white picket fences and like suburban houses and things like that, right? Mm. I mean, that's all I've ever seen on TV, so that's how I
You've only been watching Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, Americana is basically what I see. It's like the Twilight Zone is pretty much my knowledge of American suburbia. So
Like Elizabeth Mazora has upped her £6,000, sorry, not 6,000, 6,000 was, whatever that is, to 10,000 of them.
Whoa.
And she says, Tomo asked that someone put his name on the Super Jack. Come on, Tomo, you're better than that. Also, if Charlotte ideally loses, who should be next for the title picture? P.S. Thanks for getting my last name right. No worries, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you so much for your generous donation. Who should be next after Charlotte? Ember or Bailey, I think.
Ember's a very good shout, I think. Kairi Sane on her own?
Well, I mean, she's stuck on the tag team, isn't she? So I could see Bailey being the next challenger, though. Mm. I could almost see them doing like a triple threat at SummerSlam. I'm all about triple threats and six man. Yeah. Triple threat at SummerSlam of Bailey, Charlotte, and Becky. Playing off the triple threat from last year, doing that as like your big sort of storyline thing, because this Becky Charlotte feud is never bloody ending.
No,
it's so we may as well just keep going.
Yeah, I can't really picture anyone else in that scene.
Well, that's it. Me and Ollie were talking about
Baszler
yesterday.
Coming up and being the next challenger would be great.
Because the problem they've had, and this is their own fault, it's their own doing, is they've spent the last year building two people, but then building Ronda and Charlotte, and then accidentally having to build Becky.
Yeah, and then Ronda's gone.
Now so. Ronda's gone, so you're only left with two of them. So now everyone else is just completely flattened out and doesn't feel special at all.
No.
Three more. Jeb Sonnen simply says Tomo. I don't know what's going on there. Xander underscore LS11 says, watching from Georgia, studying for college finals. I'm assuming that probably means he's best friends with AJ Styles.
I think so, because they're all from the same suburban streets. Yeah. Well, good luck in your finals. I was very bad at studying because I didn't do it.
Yeah, that's usually the telltale sign of a bad studier is the lack of studying.
I once went into my English literature A-level exam having not read the book.
Wow.
Yeah, and still got a C.
That's a level of studying, not studying, that even I didn't stoop to.
Yeah, I didn't like...
I'd usually read the book.
I didn't get on with The Handmaid's Tale at all.
Oh, that's a great book.
Yeah, I didn't get on with it. I was an idiot child, though, so I didn't really get on with it. But yeah, I still managed to pass the exam, so... You know,
blah blah blah.
All's well that
women's rights.
Blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah. Hoods.
Freedom.
Blah 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 blah. Sex.
Totalitarian.
Blah 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 blah. Orwellian. Throw an Orwellian in there. Nice.
Dystopia. Dystopia.
I mean, that's an instant tick right there.
Bigham Steve. Two more. Bigham Steve. Do you think NXT deserves taped live programming? He says on Sci-Fi, but I'm sort of on general TV. I mean, we're not in America, so I don't really know how to answer that.
Oh, well, it should be on TV. Mm. I mean, it used to be. But that was before NXT was the NXT we know it is now. It's when it was proper, just developmental.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
Lucky Cannon.
Lucky Cannon, indeed. I think that it probably deserves to be on TV because it's a very, very good wrestling show.
Yeah.
It's an excellent wrestling show, really. It's arguably the best wrestling show that you get on a weekly basis.
I think the problem is if it went on TV, it wouldn't be that show because that would be when Vince wants to pay attention to it. He only really cares about what's on TV. Like, so the fact that it's on the network and just exists in this parallel universe, he's fine with. Mm. So I think the second it was it's on a TV channel, someone's paying for it, he'd be like, well, let me see the script.
Yeah.
And that's when you'd be like, oh, man, it's rubbish now.
And not only that, but you've also got to then account for adverts and things that. So the adverts will end up breaking up the matches. Because that's like NXT, when you watch it, matches don't get interrupted. Mm-hmm. But they will do if they're on TV.
And last one.
Americans bloody love their adverts.
A wonderful name, second only to my favourite name of all time, which is a WrestleTalk supporter who's called Dincy Noblet. This is Cody Lott, and she or he says Undisputed Era feels like the pro wrestling gorilla Mount Rushmore.
Oh yeah, I could certainly see that. Yeah, it's not bad.
Or Mount Mushmore.
I was going to say Mount Mushmore if you're Shane McMahon.
We've had one quick last one.
Man, he is.
True Deal just says, I'm from Iowa, and do you think Braun will ever win the big one, by which I think he means the United States Championship?
Oh, well, that is the biggest belt, isn't it? Will Braun ever win the Universal Championship? I would have thought they'd have pulled the trigger on that last year, and they didn't.
Yeah. I could see him going away for a while, and then they do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, realistically, I think Braun is about to be cycled back into being somebody's bodyguard.
They have this tendency with big lads. This is exactly what happened with Ryback. He got over... And then they were like, we better put him into a championship picture. But we don't want to put the belt on him. Now he's lost. Now he's a jobber. And then
you can entirely see why, though, because it's very hard to be big man champions are quite difficult to do well, where it doesn't just feel like a waste of time. Mm. Because it's a slow burn if you want to do I feel like the best conquering of a big lad champion is who's the smallest man? they should beat him.
Gargano. That's but how you get him in
but
there.
That's what you mean. You do that. But to get there, Big Lad has to beat this person and this person and this person and this person to build all of that kind of expectation that the little guy is going to definitely lose coming into it. And so it's even more for them to overcome, and then they do. But by that time, everyone's gone, oh, I'm so bored of them as a champion.
Well, that's the problem. Is like back in the day, in the territory days, it was easy to have like a giant champion because you're only doing like, you're not doing that many shows. Mm-hmm. Now you're on a weekly TV show. You've got to do 3-hour shows every single week. You've got to do, a Lord of the Rings movie every single week. Like that is, it's a lot to get in. And that's when like doing a big man champion is a lot harder.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, look what happened when he won Money in the Bank. Mm. As soon as he won it, they were like, uh-oh, now what do we do?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But now we've got to try and keep, like, manufacturing way for him not to cash this in, because the way he's been booked is just like, you know, he'd eat it and win the title.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.